As I was trying to think of what to preach on today, I just started thinking about fathers. And I started to think about my own dad. I love my dad, and he was an amazing man. He worked on televisions. He worked for Southwestern Bell for like 40 years almost. And he taught me a great deal about life. He taught me to work hard. He was not what you would... He was a Christian man, but he, if you heard him talk, you wouldn't think he was a Christian man. He was in the Army, served in the Army, was in the Philippines, and his language was not always the best, I'll say that. But he was a good man, and he served a lot of people, and I think that nature, that I received that from him. He would go to people's houses and work on their TVs, and he was so kind, and there were people that maybe couldn't pay, and he would fix their TV anyway. He would go and he would get on top of roofs of houses and put up antennas, and he always took into consideration the people that he was serving, what their need might be. And that has always stuck with me, the way that he was willing to help people. And then I thought, began to think about my faith, and my parents planted a seed of faith in me. I was not raised in the church. I was raised in the Catholic Church. And I was taught about God. And I learned about God, and I went to parochial school for 6 years, and nuns can be very nice or they can be very scary. They have habits that they wear when I was young, and you couldn't ever see their body, but you could see their little face in that habit. And they were gracious at many times, and at other times they were kind of scary for a little kid. But in growing up, they gave me faith. But it was later on in life that I began to study the scriptures. And I began to see that God had a different plan for my life. And as I began to read the different passages that talked about obedience to Christ, I began to understand that there was more to it than what I was doing in that walk. And so my life kind of drastically changed in that moment. And when I made the decision to be baptized into Christ, everything changed. And I was then introduced to some fathers that led me in the faith of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it changed my life drastically. These men of faith, and I'm going to mention some of their names a little bit later, of men that have influenced me and help me. And I want you to think this morning about those men in your life that have influenced you. And for some of you, it wasn't men. For some of you, it's mothers that influenced your faith. But I want you to think about those that led you in faith. And that's what Paul's talking about here. And the book of 1 Corinthians is pretty strong admonition to them and discipline to them, because that church had a lot of issues. And so he's kind of admonishing them here. But in that text, I saw this nugget of truth, that Paul became a father to this Corinthian church, that he considered them his children, and he wanted to lead them in the way of Christ, in the way that he followed Christ. Paul would say, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And so he became their father in the faith. And so then he sends Timothy, who he calls his son in the faith, and sends Timothy to them to help teach them even further. And so I began to think about those fathers in the faith and what God requires of fathers. And I think the first thing he requires of fathers is to love. To love, first of all, God, and then to love his wife, and to love his children, and to love others. And he kind of puts himself last in that line of love. But that, to me, is the most important thing for dads. And that's why I said this morning, there are some of you that did not have a dad that played a major part in your life, that you didn't experience that kind of love. And my heart goes out to you. But let me tell you what, there is a father who loves. And that father is God. And he loves all of his children. And I've sat with people who have talked about relationships with their dads and how strained they are. And I want to remind them, because what often happens is we begin to see God through the eyes of our earthly fathers, as like our earthly fathers. And we begin to compare God to them. And then we look at God like we look at them. But our Heavenly Father is so much more than our earthly fathers could ever be. And we all are created in His image, and He loves us. And the Scriptures talks about He lavishes His love upon us. And so my prayer for those that did not have an earthly father relationship, that they discover that relationship with their Heavenly Father, and to understand how much they're cherished and how much they're loved. But what do fathers do? They love, they lead, they teach. And one of the hard ones for children is they discipline as well. And I want to read what Deuteronomy 6 says, because it's talking to Israel as Israel leads the people. And he says, "Hear, O Israel," Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. "The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children." Moms, dads, are you impressing His commands on your children? Are you talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up? Are you tying them as symbols on your hands and binding them on your foreheads? Are you writing them on the door frames of your houses and gates? That's what our nation needs, is fathers and mothers who are willing to lay down their lives to God and let God lead their home. Let His love filter through them so that they love their children in the way that He loves them, and that we love each other the way that God intends for us to. And I talk about discipline. Discipline is so important, and I think we've lost sight of what that's about. But the Scripture gives a very good description of what godly discipline is. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, "In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten," listen to this, "this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, 'My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves.'" Are you catching that? This is not just for children. This is for all of us, even those of us who are fathers. The Lord disciplines those he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as a son. I remember my dad chastening me. I don't know about you. My dad used a belt to chasten me. And, you know, as I look back on it, as painful as that might have been, and some people said, "Oh, no, that's child abuse." Let me tell you what. I was trained by that. I learned to respect and to honor my father. And that was the method he used. And he was not abusive. He wanted me to learn. And every once in a while, he did it in anger. Most of our dads probably did. But most of the time, as I look back now, it was because he wanted me to be better than I was. He wanted me to grow and to be strengthened and to be a man. And to me, as I look back on those whippings, I look back on those with good memories, because they did. They changed me. They made me better. They made me who I am today. So he says he chastens everyone he accepts as a son. Look, starting again in verse 7. "Endure hardship as discipline." So in other words, when we're going through hard times, maybe God is disciplining us. Maybe he's trying to show us something that we do not see clearly, and he wants to make it more clear to us. He says to endure hardship as discipline. Listen to what it says next. God is treating you as his children. There is no other name I would rather have than to be a child of God, to be his child. Because I know then I am completely and fully loved. And I am loved regardless of behavior. I am loved no matter what I do. He always loves me. And that's the kind of father that we serve. He treats us as his children. And the writer says, for what children are not disciplined by their father? And unfortunately, I'm not sure that's happening a lot today in our world. If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. And I'm not sure that's the case any longer, unfortunately. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? And there's an exclamation point behind that. To have life, to really live. They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good. Church, you getting that? Discipline comes for our good. This is what a good father does. He disciplines us. In order, look at this, this is so beautiful. In order that we may share in his holiness. What greater gift could we ask for? No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Yeah, experience that one. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And that's what I see in my relationship with my earthly dad. That even though he was not a perfect man, he trained me and he disciplined me. And I know now, maybe I didn't know at the time, but I know now that he did it because he loved me. So what are some of the fathers, some of the mothers that you had in the faith? Today, I want you to think about those people. I want you to thank God for those people, for him placing them in your life so that you could see more clearly the face of our Heavenly Father, that your faith would grow in that. Some of my fathers in the faith were shepherds in this congregation, some in the past and some are still alive. I'm going to mention some names, names you may know, names you may not know. One of them was Fountain E. Davis. And I have a favorite kind of story about Fountain E. When we first came to the church in Leander, he took me out in his old beat-up pickup truck. I had heard that he was a pig farmer, that was what he did, but he had all this property. If you cross over the bridge on the South San Gabriel, over to the right, if you look out that direction, the majority of that land was his land. Now there's a big Larkspur subdivision over in that area and all that. But he was a conservationist as well. And it's the Apostle Paul. He says, I'm writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. You may be seated. As I was trying to think of what to preach on today, I just started thinking about fathers. And I started to think about my own dad. I love my dad. And he was an amazing man. He worked on televisions. He worked for Southwestern Bell for like 40 years almost. And he taught me a great deal about life. He taught me to work hard. He was not what you would, he was a Christian man, but he, if you heard him talk, you wouldn't think he was a Christian man. He was in the Army, served in the Army, was in the Philippines, and his language was not always the best, I'll say that. But he was a good man, and he served a lot of people, and I think that nature that I received that from him, he would go to people's houses and work on their TVs, and he was so kind, and there were people that maybe couldn't pay, and he would fix their TV anyway. He would go and he would get on top of roofs of houses and put up antennas, and he always took into consideration the people that he was serving, what their need might be. And that has always stuck with me, the way that he was willing to help people. And then I thought, began to think about my faith, and my parents planted a seed of faith in me. I was not raised in the church, I was raised in the Catholic Church. And I was taught about God. And I learned about God, and I went to parochial school for 6 years, and nuns can be very nice or they can be very scary. They have habits that they wear when I was young, and you couldn't ever see their body, but you could see their little face in that habit. And they were gracious at many times, and at other times they were kind of scary for a little kid. But in growing up, they gave me faith. But it was later on in life that I began to study the scriptures. And I began to see that God had a different plan for my life. And as I began to read the different passages that talked about obedience to Christ, I began to understand that there was more to it than what I was doing in that walk. And so my life kind of drastically changed in that moment. And when I made the decision to be baptized into Christ, everything changed. And I was then introduced to some fathers that led me in the faith of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it changed my life drastically. These men of faith, and I'm going to mention some of their names a little bit later, of men that have influenced me and helped me. And I want you to think this morning about those men in your life that have influenced you. And for some of you, it wasn't men. For some of you, it was mothers that influenced your faith. But I want you to think about those that led you in faith. And that's what Paul's talking about here. And in the book of 1 Corinthians is pretty strong admonition to them and discipline to them, because that church had a lot of issues. And so he's kind of admonishing them here. But in that text, I saw this nugget of truth, that Paul became a father to this Corinthian church, that he considered them his children, and he wanted to lead them in the way of Christ, in the way that he followed Christ. Paul would say, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And so he became their father in the faith. And so then he sends Timothy, who he calls his son in the faith, and sends Timothy to them to help teach them even further. And so I began to think about those fathers in the faith and what God requires of fathers. And I think the first thing he requires of fathers is to love. To love, first of all, God, and then to love his wife, and to love his children, and to love others. And he kind of puts himself last in that line of love. But that, to me, is the most important thing for dads. And that's why I said this morning, there are some of you that did not have a dad that played a major part in your life, that you didn't experience that kind of love. And my heart goes out to you. But let me tell you what, there is a father who loves. And that father is God. And he loves all of his children. And I've sat with people who have talked about relationships with their dads and how strained they are. And I want to remind them, because what often happens is we begin to see God through the eyes of our earthly fathers, as like our earthly fathers. And we begin to compare God to them. And then we look at God like we look at them. But our Heavenly Father is so much more than our earthly fathers could ever be. And we all are created in His image, and He loves us. And the Scriptures talks about He lavishes His love upon us. And so my prayer for those that did not have an earthly father relationship, that they discover that relationship with their Heavenly Father, and to understand how much they're cherished and how much they're loved. But what do fathers do? They love. They lead. They teach. And one of the hard ones for children is they discipline as well. And I want to read what Deuteronomy 6 says, because it's talking to Israel as Israel leads the people. And he says, "Hear, O Israel," Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9, "the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children." Moms, dads, are you impressing His commands on your children? Are you talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up? Are you tying them as symbols on your hands and binding them on your foreheads? Are you writing them on the door frames of your houses and gates? That's what our nation needs, is fathers and mothers who are willing to lay down their lives to God and let God lead their home. Let His love filter through them so that they love their children in the way that He loves them, and that we love each other the way that God intends for us to. And I talk about discipline. Discipline is so important, and I think we've lost sight of what that's about. But the Scripture gives a very good description of what godly discipline is. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, "In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten," listen to this, "this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, 'My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves.'" Are you catching that? This is not just for children. This is for all of us, even those of us who are fathers. The Lord disciplines those he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as a son. I remember my dad chastening me. I don't know about you. My dad used a belt to chasten me. And, you know, as I look back on it, as painful as that might have been, and some people said, "Oh, no, that's child abuse." Let me tell you what, I was trained by that. I learned to respect and to honor my father. And that was the method he used. And he was not abusive. He wanted me to learn. And every once in a while, he did it in anger. Most of our dads probably did. But most of the time, as I look back now, it was because he wanted me to be better than I was. He wanted me to grow and to be strengthened and to be a man. And to me, as I look back on those whippings, I look back on those with good memories, because they did. They changed me. They made me better. They made me who I am today. So he says he chastens everyone he accepts as a son. Look, starting again in verse 7. "Endure hardship as discipline." So in other words, when we're going through hard times, maybe God is disciplining us. Maybe he's trying to show us something that we do not see clearly, and he wants to make it more clear to us. He says to endure hardship as discipline. Listen to what it says next. God is treating you as his children. There is no other name I would rather have than to be a child of God, to be his child. Because I know then I am completely and fully loved. And I am loved regardless of behavior. I am loved no matter what I do. He always loves me. And that's the kind of father that we serve. He treats us as his children. And the writer says, for what children are not disciplined by their father? And unfortunately, I'm not sure that's happening a lot today in our world. If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. And I'm not sure that's the case any longer, unfortunately. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? And there's an exclamation point behind that. To have life, to really live. They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good. Church, you getting that? Discipline comes for our good. This is what a good father does. He disciplines us. In order, look at this, this is so beautiful. In order that we may share in his holiness. What greater gift could we ask for? No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Yeah, experience that one. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And that's what I see in my relationship with my earthly dad. That even though he was not a perfect man, he trained me and he disciplined me. And I know now, maybe I didn't know at the time, but I know now that he did it because he loved me. So what are some of the fathers, some of the mothers that you had in the faith? Today, I want you to think about those people. I want you to thank God for those people, for him placing them in your life so that you could see more clearly the face of our Heavenly Father, that your faith would grow in that. Some of my fathers in the faith were shepherds in this congregation, some in the past and some are still alive. I'm going to mention some names, names you may know, names you may not know. One of them was Fountain E. Davis. And I have a favorite kind of story about Fountain E. When we first came to the church in Leander, he took me out in his old beat-up pickup truck. I had heard that he was a pig farmer, that was what he did, but he had all this property. If you cross over the bridge on the South San Gabriel, over to the right, if you look out that direction, the majority of that land was his land. Now there's a big Larkspur subdivision over in that area and all of that. But he was a conservationist as well, and he would feed the deer. And he received several awards for doing this. But he took me out in his old pickup truck, and he had feed in the back. And when that truck would pull out into the open spaces, the deer would just come out. I had never seen that many deer in my life. It was amazing. And they'd hear the truck, and they'd hear his voice, and they'd all come out. But you know, that's the way he was in the church. He was one of the most gentle men that I've ever met. And his faith, simple faith in God, was a great witness to me. There's other men I could tell stories about. Some of these men, Solon Whaley, a man of faith. His son Kenneth and Robert have been members here for many years. Lloyd Walker, Smith Cluck, John Simmons. John was always a great witness to me of faith. Some that are still living, Joe Pearson, who still gives me a hard time all the time. I have to tell you a story. Joe always would call, he would call up the church and he would say, "Is this Joe's Bar and Grill?" or something to that effect. I'm trying to remember, there was one, he would always try to trick us and to get us worked up, so to speak. And one day he came in, this was several years ago, and he apparently had gone in, this one Dane was here, had gone into Dane's office and talked to him for a few minutes. Then he came over to my office and he sat down and he got this real serious look on his face. And he said, I've got a problem. He was the shepherd at the time. He said, "I've got a problem I need to share with you." And I said, and I always was hesitant to believe what Joe was saying, okay? And I was a little bit hesitant. I said, "Okay, Joe, what do you got for me, you know?" And Joe said, "No, Whit, I'm serious." And I said, and I didn't know how to take it. And I was like, "Well, maybe he is being serious." He said, "Well," he says, "I'm mixed up in a love affair." And of course, I looked at Joe and I thought, "Oh, what's coming now?" But he really played it well, like there was really something going on. And so I said, "Well, Joe," I said, "tell me about what's going on." He said, "Well, there's this woman that I've fallen in love with, and I don't know what to do." And I said, I just kind of shook my head and said, "Joe?" And he said, "Yeah," he said, "ever since my granddaughter was born, I've just been so head over heels in love with her." And he got me. He got me good. And Dane and Janet were looking through the window in my office watching Joe play me. He often played me pretty well. But Joe Pearson, B.W. Pruitt. I used to go and visit with B.W. and sit with him, and he'd tell me stories. I knew his parents and his, 38 years here. That's, some people say, "How have you stayed at the church so long?" It's because I've got these fathers in the faith. I've got this church family. This is an amazing place. There are amazing people here. And I have never thought about leaving because of the love that's in this place. Because this is life. This is where life exists. And this is our family. So I've had these amazing fathers in the faith, but more than that, I have an amazing Heavenly Father. James 1:17 says this, "Every good and perfect gift is from above." Every single one of them is from above. They're coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadow. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be, listen to this, a kind of first fruits of all he created. Wow. That's the kind of God who lavishes his love upon it, as it says in Peter. He loves us so much. And so on this Father's Day, thank the fathers that have been a part of your life. Ask God to bless them. Ask God to bless those fathers of the faith that have led you, those mothers of the faith that have led you, those people that have influenced you to live for Christ, because you're here because people have invested their love in you and have showed you that there's a way to live that's far above all other ways, and that's to walk with Jesus every single day. And I hope as you think about those precious memories, those things that have inspired you will flood your hearts and mind once again and maybe renew your spirit so that you can serve the Lord in even a better way. May God bless our fathers, and may God bless the Father of heavenly lights that loves us and lavishes love on us. If there's anyone here this morning that has a need, We ask you to come and lay your heart before the Father and before the fathers and the mothers and all of those here, people of faith, so that we can pray over you and ask God to intervene on your behalf. If you want to obey the gospel, no better time to do that than now, while we stand and sing.